Good morning and welcome. Sorry. Welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three worship services, and there will be one at 11:30, and our evening service starts at 6:30. Pastoral news. Brenda Bayliss is starting training for a new job in the caring sector. She starts her training this week and wants us to pray for her. Hannah Brain is due to have a cesarean section on Monday. Looking forward to bringing that news to you next week. This is the final week for our Link to Hope shoebox appeal. There are still some boxes, that look like this, in the Mayo Hall, waiting to be filled with small gifts for families and the elderly living in the poorest areas of Eastern Europe. Any unwanted coins of any currency will be collected. We're sending out several bags of warm clothing with the boxes, so if you can help with this, please bring the clothing along next Sunday. I want to remind you that Elders' Election is, the papers have been out, and we need them collected, hopefully, by next Sunday. The box is at the back, or you can give your forms to Catherine or send them to me. Now, something else is happening today. We're having our Autumn Music Fest, which is here at 4 o'clock. Do come along, bring your friends. It's a very full and varied programme, and definitely shows the development of the work that the music group have been doing towards bringing more music to our place. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. The Lord is my fortress. Live under the protection of God Most High and stay in the shadow of God the All-Powerful. Then you will say to the Lord, "You are my fortress. You are my place of safety. You are my God, and I trust you." We join to sing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you.
I was talking to a member of the church this morning, and I said, "How's life?" And they said, "Fabulous." They said, "I am richly blessed." And then he said, "And sometimes you wonder, why me?" When people use that phrase, "why me," they usually use it in a negative sense. But you could also use it in a positive sense. Why am I so blessed? And then we led on in our conversation to think about thankfulness. The habit of being thankful is a good habit to develop. Let us pray. We give you thanks. Forgive us that too often we take things for granted. Forgive us that we are more inclined to complain than to celebrate. We come to worship you, our God. We gather before you. You who are important, honored, exalted. We come to worship, or do we come self-seeking, looking for what you can give? We ask that you would open our ears, that we would hear you, Lord, even if the words are hard. Lord our God, we come to worship. And we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be. Right, I need you to join in these actions with me. God. God. Hello? God. God loves me. God loves me. And I love others. God loves me. And I love others. God loves me and I love God, but God loves me and calls me to love others. God loves me and I love others. Which is easy to say, God loves me. Some people have difficulty believing that God loves me. God knows all about me, and yet God loves me. For some people, that's really difficult. God loves me. And some people get to God loves me, and I love God. God loves me, I love God. But Jesus says, God loves me, and I love others. And I want to tell you, my friends, if you are going to love others, I have something in my pocket that you're definitely, definitely, definitely going to need if you love others. Can you guess what it is? What do you think it might be? If you love others, I guarantee, if you love others, not if you're polite to them, not if you're nice to them, but if you open your heart and you love others, this is something that you are definitely, definitely going to need. Tissues. Because if you love others, sometimes it's going to be hard and you're going to cry. You can be nice to people and not cry. You can be polite to people and not cry. You can do stuff for people and not cry. But if you love others, if you love others, if you open your heart. But we do it because Jesus has told us to. But we do it because, with me, God loves me. And I love others. And sometimes we need to just hold ourselves in the moment that God made the universe, loves me. Just hold that. And then knowing that, I love others. You laid aside your majesty, we joined to sing.
Thank you.
to remain standing just for half a millisecond and we'll join together to pray. Loving God, we know that with you there's always more to learn, and we know that when we leave this place, you will empower us to live our lives for you. So bless us as we go into our groups, as we stay here, that we will learn more about you, Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen. See you later, Quino. Oh, dog and boy. The first reading is one of what we call the suffering servant songs in the prophet Isaiah. Part of how Christians get their heads round the link between the Old and the New Testaments is in prophecies like this. But it's probably true that the linkage between this figure in Isaiah and the Messiah wasn't made until the time of Jesus. And it was the followers of Jesus who made this connection. And Fran Bevan will read this passage to us.
So Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 12. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. But because of our sins, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserved. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. He never said a word. Like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared, he never said a word. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die, and no one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of our people. He was placed in a grave with the wicked. He was buried with the rich, even though he had never committed a crime or ever told a lie. The Lord says, "It was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. And so he will see his descendants. He will live a long life. And through him, my purpose will succeed. After a life of suffering, he will again have joy. He will know that he did not suffer in vain. My devoted servant, with whom I am pleased, will bear the punishment of many, and for his sake, I will forgive them. And so I will give him a place of honor, a place among the great and powerful. He willingly gave his life and shared the fate of evil men. He took the place of many sinners and prayed that they might be forgiven."
All the time when we are living our lives, we need to remember that the sea that we swim in the rest of our time, and the sea that we swim in when we come to reflect on the scriptures, are completely different. And it is shown very much in this passage from Mark's Gospel. We're just chugging our way through Mark's Gospel. This conversation between Jesus, James, and John about the quest for, what does it mean to be powerful in the church? What does it mean to be have influence when you are a follower of Jesus? And Phil Bevan will read this passage to us.
This is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. Teacher, they said, there is something we want you to do for us. What is it? Jesus asked them. They answered, when you sit on your throne in your glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one at your right and one at your left. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way I must be baptized? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup I must drink and be baptized in the way I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and my left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them. When the other 10 disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is to be among you. If one of you wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, he must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life to redeem many people. Amen.
The first thing, thank you, Fran, thank you, Phil. The thing that needs to be said about that Isaiah passage, which we hear at the end of the work of the translators and the scholars, is that there are loads of difficulty in the text of this passage. What the text is and how to translate it. We have heard it often. We have heard it with the edges rubbed off. And we hear it as pointing towards Jesus. And I have to tell you, I think I've got a bit of a problem this morning as well. And my problem is this. It's warm in here, isn't it? And just what you need when you're nice and warm is listening to somebody talk to you for 15 minutes and keeping awake. So when I see you all nodding off, we're going to start moving. All right, okay, I'll tell you what. If you don't keep awake, I'm going to make you sing an action song. We're going to be wiggly worming. So, right, here we go. Even if we look at the text and we read it and we understand it, it can be, and it has been used as the basis of some particular hideous bits of anti-Semitism. Of the Jews being characterized as people who didn't hear the words of the prophets, their own prophets, when they were pointing towards Jesus. And you can also read it as having some unhelpful teaching when it comes to suffering. But putting up with suffering is one thing, inflicting it is another. And there is a long history in the church, a shameful history of inflicting suffering. And if you don't believe me, I would just ask you to think about what is sitting on Pope Francis's desk, as well as the way that we know people are inclined to bully and brutality in the life of churches. Following Jesus calls us to suffering. Following Jesus calls us to suffering. Whether it is the minor suffering of doing things when you'd rather be lying in your bed, getting up when you'd rather be happy with your screen, doing things when it comes to the whole question of morality. So you aspire to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't commit adultery, but you try to keep the Sabbath and you try to put God first. That sort of minor inconvenience. But it's about our safety. We are called as followers of Jesus to go beyond our own safety. And thinking about your physical safety is the easiest thing. There are elements, levels of commitment in the Christian life and different ways of beginning. And there are people who are entranced by Jesus. And that for some, what they hear about him can be their first step. They hear about him, they think, yep, I want to know more. And that calls them into the spiritual life. But for others, it's the draw of community. They hear more about community. They know that somehow that's a thing that's missing for them. And that pulls them towards church. And they want to be part of a group. They want to be part of a group of people who are trying to do a something. But when you move from the distant politeness of community to loving, you have to be prepared to be hurt. You have to be prepared to suffer. We know that we will receive pain. We know that we will inflict it on others. It is not right, but it is how human beings are. We are people, we know about sin. Sin is why we're here. We know about sin. We know that sometimes we are less than sensitive with one another. We take somebody's sore spot and we kick them. We don't always do it on purpose, but we do it. And the other truth that we need to remember is that the way that groups of people work, groups, always, if you move from politeness, courtesy, into intimate relationships with people, you always, always go through a set pattern. And the pattern is you form, you storm, you norm before you perform. Storming always happens. And having said that, what are you going to do about it? You can either buckle up and think, yep, if I'm going to advance as a Christian, if I'm going to move in my relationship with Jesus, if I'm going to move in depth of relationship with other people in any group, then I will have to get ready for the up-down roller coaster journey that is life. Or you can think, here is my heart. I will protect it. I will try to keep it safe. I will armor it. And in that moment, you will live half a life. Now, that's not the most amazing truth that you've ever heard in your whole life, but it is, however, what I'm going to use you to keep you awake. So give me a round of applause. And if you don't believe me, if you don't believe me about that thing about keeping your heart safe, I invite you to talk to anybody. And there are many people in our community who are widows and widowers. It's a brave thing to love somebody. And it is the way that you get really hurt. The place where the teaching in the Old Testament is very helpful is to remind us that innocent people suffer. And And when something happens, our unthought, before it even hits us, is there's an inclination to blame the victim. That victim blaming, which is so alive among us. But we need to remember, the teaching of our text makes it very clear that innocent people suffer. Of course it would be lovely if suffering only happened with the guilty. Wouldn't that be great? Guilty people suffer. Marvelous, but it's not like that. Innocent people suffer too. It is not a consequence of your bad behavior that your check did not arrive, your benefit check was late, and you ended up with no money for food and had to come here and we helped you. It is not your fault. You are not to blame. You are free to go for a walk. It is not your fault that you were raped. You are not to be blamed that you trusted someone, even if they ended up ripping you off. It is not your fault. Innocent people do suffer. So the other disciples, the other ten, hear what the two, James and John, have been saying to Jesus and how they've been trying to get themselves these top seats. And Jesus says, all right, I've had enough of you people. Come on. Gets the 12 together and teaches them about what leadership is going to mean. What Christian leadership looks like. If you would be first, you have to be the slave of all. The call to follow Jesus is a call that says that you have to give your life in service, calling each of us to humble service. Humble service. And the disciples who spoke, me on my right, me on the left, me. Probably thinking about power and status, using the models and the pictures from their society and bringing them in terms of how they wanted things to be in the church. And Jesus says, drinking the cup, sharing the baptism, are you prepared to be part of what it means? And Jesus says, yep, you are going to be part of what it all means. And Jesus has spoken often to them about his death and his suffering, but somehow they have not heard it. Jesus has spoken to them often about his death and his suffering, but somehow they have not heard it. Just like we often have not allowed the truth, God loves me, to permeate the people that we are. God loves me. And so we will never abuse ourselves again. Because God loves me. Or to hear, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Not just for you, but for you. And to stop getting anxious. And to stop thinking that we have to do it all. So we're not people to mock others for their lack of perception, because we know what it's like, because we do it all the time. It's our perpetual experience. We spend our whole lives actually trying to allow the truth, God loves me, to trickle into our lives. And sometimes we just need to pause and to get back in touch with the big fundamental truths of the faith. God loves each one of us, which means God loves me. And to let the simplicity of that truth soak into us and allow us to be tender in our relations with others. So let us be still. Gracious Jesus, it is an honour to be called into a relationship with you. You have walked a path that we could never tread. You hold the wisdom of the ages. You are light of the world, and you invite us to sit with you. Forgive us when we lose sight of your showers of blessings. Help us to be brave enough to open our hearts to your way of being. Help us to be brave enough to open our hearts to others. Lead us. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." So we have a number of requests for things for people to pray about. I'll read them to us. But you remember, if Hannah Brain is having a cesarean section tomorrow, Hannah, do you all know who Hannah Brain is? Yeah, good, that's good. God will be very busy listening to requests from one particular area. And so get your prayers in, I would suggest today, and then don't mither God again till Wednesday. So, Brenda Bayliss is starting a new job and is having training. Remember Anne Mackay, who has broken her leg? Request for prayer for somebody called Noella, who needs to pass her driving test and can't keep having driving lessons. This is signed Mum and Dad, and it's got kisses. It says, "Our beloved son Andrew and our daughter-in-law Becky, who both passed away within 18 months of each other, bless you both. Darling little Jonathan, much loved, much missed. I do hope that you are very happy in heaven. I am very sad that I never did get to meet you. Ask to pray for those animals in laboratories and all those who suffer throughout the world. To pray for Paula, that she may fully recover. For Margaret Mukuthu in Lesotho, suffering from glaucoma and facing an operation for cataract. And then a thanks from Eddie Kerr for the prayers and the visits when he was in hospital. So we pray." In light, in dark, in life, in death, Lord, we pray. And we thank you that you are not God outside of our experience, but God who knows what it is to hang on a cross, to be rejected, to be abused, to be laughed at, to be spat at. Our pain, the pain of those that we love, you know. The tears that you wept over Lazarus, the irritation that we see in the scriptures with the disciples. Lord, we pray for those that we know who are ill. For those who suffer around the world, those who live next door and suffer, for those whose hearts are broken. Those whose relationships are collapsing. Those who hoped and it never came to be. The bereaved. Those who think that soon their job will be gone and they have invested everything and everything about themselves into it. And for ourselves, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We know that the gifts and the graces that we have that have enabled us to earn this money, talents, have all come from you. We return this money. We ask for your blessing on those in the finance organization of Kingston Unite Reformed Church, of the whole Unite Reformed Church, that this money would be used well for the causes that we give money to as a church. May they be wise stewards. And we ask for your blessing on the money that we keep, that we would know that all the money that we have is yours. Amen. Our final hymn, we join to sing, Christ Be Our Light. So as we go from this place, help us to respond to God's invitation to join the chorus of the morning stars and to dance with the heavenly beings and to shout for joy. Amen.